the Binance token, BNB, it's got this this fascinating, almost split personality.
It really does.
On one hand, it's the quiet, you know, super efficient fuel for this massive global financial machine, built on solid deflationary economics.
Mm-hmm. Fair, too.
But then on the exact same network, it's also the engine pumping out these incredibly fast, incredibly cheap, and sometimes, let's be honest, totally nonsensical meme coin explosions.
Yeah, the mania side.
So can those two things actually live together? You know, the serious utility and that kind of speculative frenzy? Or is the speculation maybe undermining the foundation?
That's really the core question, isn't it? That's the tension we need to unpack today.
Right.
We're going to dive deep into the source material you sent over, see how Binance is trying to walk that tightrope.
Okay.
Because the data we've got shows, well, incredible fundamental strength, numbers suggesting real long-term health.
What?
But it's being stress-tested right now by this explosive, super high-speed retail excitement.
Absolutely. Welcome, everyone, to The Deep Dive. Our mission today is pretty straightforward. We're taking all the complexity in the source material about the Binance token and synthesizing it, boiling it down to give you a complete kind of holistic picture. We want to look beyond just the price ticker.
Exactly. And we're going to break it down into three main areas, really distinct parts.
Okay.
First up, the core fundamentals. We need to understand how that deflation works, especially the auto burn, and look at the total value locked, the TVL.
Got it. Fundamentals first.
Second, we'll tackle the more recent stuff, the impact of this wild BNB meme season. How does that speculative heat connect back, or does it?
Right, the connection point.
And third, we'll get technical. A detailed look at the charts, the current bullish trend, put some context around those patterns.
And then we'll wrap it all up.
Yep, wrap with the final verdict on market sentiment, and crucially, those specific price targets from the analysis that you should probably be aware of.
The goal, like always, is to make sure you walk away with solid, synthesized knowledge. Quickly and efficiently. Okay, let's start with segment one then. Unpacking the fundamentals, the core identity of BNB.
Right.
Historically, I think a lot of people just saw it as, you know, a way to get cheaper trading fees on the big Binance exchange, right. A discount token.
Yeah, that was the original idea, maybe.
But the source material really hammers home that its economic design has moved way beyond that now.
Oh, absolutely. It's evolved into a proper economic capture mechanism. Mm-hmm. It's not just a poke anymore.
So what does that mean, economic capture?
It means it's the essential fuel, the thing that makes the whole sprawling Binance ecosystem actually run.
And that's not just trading.
No, not just spot and futures. We're talking DeFi, payments, staking, the launch pads where new tokens get started, liquid staking, everything.
Wow, okay.
And the key insight, the thing that kind of sets BNB apart, is it's architecturally designed, built, to capture value from all those different services.
Hmm. And how does that compare to, say, competitors? The material mentions tokens like OKB or OKB.
Yeah, that's a really important distinction. Those tokens often still feel very much like exchange-focused loyalty points. Their value is mostly tied to stuff happening on that specific exchange.
Okay. So BNB's reach is broader.
Much broader. It's about integration and necessity. Competitors might rely just on trading volume or maybe staking within their own closed system.
Right.
But BNB, you need it for gas fees on the BNB chain itself.
Yeah.
You need it to get into Launchpad token sales. It's essential as a trading pair on all the decentralized exchanges built on its chain, like PancakeSwap.
So it's double duty.
Yeah.
Fueling the blockchain and the exchange's internal economy.
Exactly. It's the backbone of a layer one blockchain and the currency of the biggest CEX lined. So any economic activity, whether it's happening on the decentralized side or the centralized side, it just drives direct demand for BNB.
Okay, that makes sense. And central to keeping that value stable long term is this auto burn mechanism you mentioned. It sounds kind of quiet, maybe technical, but the sources say it's crucial for the deflation story.
It's the deflationary engine, that's how the material puts it, and it's accurate.
Right.
This was formalized back in 2022, and it basically runs constantly in the background.
Yeah.
Just reducing the total supply of BNB tokens forever.
And what makes it, you know, powerful or transparent, as you said?
Well, the amount of BNB that gets permanently destroyed, burned, it's tied to two specific things, not just one.
Okay.
First, the actual activity on the BNB smart chain, like how many transactions are happening.
Uh-huh.
And second, the revenue that the main Binance centralized exchange generates.
Ah, okay. So it's not only tied to Binance's profits, like it maybe used to be, it reacts to the network itself being used.
Precisely. That was a key change. Linking the burn partly to gas usage and on-chain activity makes the whole supply reduction process transparent, verifiable. You don't have to just trust Binance's private financial reports.
So the more people use the chain, even for, say, trading meme coins.
Yes. Even for meme coins, the more activity, the faster the supply gets permanently reduced. It's designed to build that long-term holder confidence.
And the scale of this reduction. It's pretty mind-blowing. The sources say over 56 million BNB burned so far.
It's huge.
That's almost a quarter of the original total supply gone.
Yeah, just think about what that means arithmetically or geometrically even. When demand increases for whatever reason, utility or speculation, it's pushing against a supply pool that's significantly smaller than it was just a couple of years ago.
Creates scarcity.
Exactly. Inherent scarcity. It acts like a kind of hardened floor under the price. Even if the speculative froth blows off, that long-term value capture mechanism fueled by deflation is still there working away.
Okay, so that's the burn. But beyond the big exchange stuff, the BNB chain itself, the blockchain, it's got its own DeFi ecosystem, right? Does it have real utility there?
Oh, yeah. The numbers definitely confirm genuine foundational use.
Like what?
Well, let's look at total value locked, or TVL. DAFI Llama data puts it at about $9.2 billion locked on BNB chain.
$9.2 billion. Okay. How does that stack up?
Functionally, that makes it number two. Only Ethereum has more locked up.
Wow. Second only to Ethereum.
But, you know, we need to dig into that TVL a bit.
Mm.
Ethereum's is obviously much larger, but BNB chain's value seems driven more by these high-frequency, maybe lower-cap protocols.
Mm-hmm.
Things like PancakeSwap, the decentralized exchange, or Venus, the lending platform.
Right.
And those types of activities feed directly back into demanding more BNB.
So it's maybe a different kind of value capture, more about throughput, speed, velocity of money, rather than just locking up huge chunks of institutional capital that doesn't move much.
That's a great way to put it. Yeah, exactly. And if you look at pure activity, the network's processing over 3 million transactions every single day.
3 million a day.
Yeah, huge throughput. And that's only possible because the fees are consistently low, like really low, which makes it easy for major dApps, decentralized dApps, to build on it and integrate.
And that activity feeds the burn mechanism we talked about.
Precisely. That velocity, those millions of transactions, drive the on-chain activity part of the auto burn calculation. It's all connected.
Okay, let's ground this with some specific numbers. The material gives some 2025 estimates that kind of define the network's health right now.
Right. So current circulating supply is hovering around 139.1 million BNB.
Okay.
Active wallets, about 1.4 million. Pretty strong user base.
Mm-hmm.
And this is critical. Daily network fees are generating around $5.57
million. $5.5
million
a day just in network fees.
Yeah, these aren't trivial numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So when you combine that consistent utility millions and daily fees, billions locked up with a verifiable, ongoing deflationary mechanism that's actively cutting the supply.
Yeah.
The long-term picture starts looking fundamentally pretty strong. Demand looks set to increase while supply keeps decreasing. It's a powerful combo.
Okay, quick probing question then before we move on. How significant, really, is that 56 million token burn in setting that long-term price floor, especially when you contrast it with all the speculative stuff happening now?
Well, the massive supply cut just makes any demand pressure, whenever it comes, much more impactful over time. It sets a high floor, regardless of short-term noise.
All right, so we've got this picture of a quiet, reliable, deflationary engine providing fundamental strength.
Mm-hmm. The bedrock.
But lately, that engine room has been anything but quiet. Let's shift gears to the loud part.
Yeah.
This BNB meme season, the liquidity jolt, as the source calls it.
Yeah, jolt is a good word. It's been explosive. This meme frenzy, really driven by a few specific tokens, like one called Four and another BSC.
Right.
It just turned the BNB chain into the place to be for quick trades, almost overnight.
How big are we talking?
Well, the daily trading volume on the chain itself hit an incredible $25.5 billion at its peak.
$25 billion in a day.
Yeah. And the sources made a point of highlighting this. That volume actually momentarily shot past Solana.
Whoa. Solana was kind of the king of that fast meme volume, right?
Exactly. Undisputed king for a while there. So for BNB chain to surpass it, even briefly, that's a huge data point. You can't just ignore that shift.
It really speaks to where that retail liquidity, that fast money, decided to flow very suddenly.
Totally.
And what I found really interesting in the notes was this statistic about the traders themselves, the retail momentum.
Oh, yeah, that was surprising. Over 70%, 70, of the traders who got involved in those specific meme coins, the ones causing the big pumps.
Yeah.
They're currently in profit.
That's unusual for meme coin frenzies, isn't it? Usually it's a lot of people getting burned.
Very unusual.
Huh.
It signals that this wasn't just a flash in the pan. It was a successful wave, at least for many participants. It brought a highly engaged retail crowd back into the Binance ecosystem, and they made money.
And when people make money,
they tell their friends, they get excited. That attracts even more capital, more users, and crucially for BNB, more transaction volume, which feeds the whole system again.
Okay, but isn't this kind of a double-edged sword? If your volume is suddenly rocketing past Solana, but it's purely driven by coins named Four or whatever, doesn't that risk branding the chain as, I don't know, fundamentally unserious, maybe not the place for long-term institutional-grade projects? This feels like where the tension really bites.
It is the ultimate tightrope walk, no question.
Right.
The benefit is obvious. OneBNB, the token itself, directly benefits every swap, every trade, every time someone adds liquidity to a meme coin pool. They're using BNB for gas, or they need BNB to pair with the meme coin. So demand rises. User engagement shoots up.
But the warning signs.
The experts quoted in the material are quick to wave a caution flag. They point out that a lot of this dramatic growth spurt is rooted in very speculative liquidity. It's hype driven, maybe some insider millions, temporary excitement. It's not necessarily sticky money.
So let me see if I get this right. The speculators, the people chasing these quick meme coin flips, they are kind of unintentionally fueling the very deflationary engine that's designed to benefit the long-term holders.
Exactly. The irony is just delicious, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
The retail gambler pays the gas fee on their meme coin trade. That gas fee counts as on-chain activity. That activity boosts the BNB auto burn amount, which permanently removes BNB from circulation.
They're basically subsidizing the long-term floor for everyone else without even realizing it.
Pretty much, yeah.
But the core question, the sustainability question, it still hangs there. Can the ecosystem actually convert this high-speed, maybe short-lived excitement into something lasting? Sustainable capital flow, real utility usage after the meme frenzy inevitably cools down, because they always, always cool down.
That is the $1 million or maybe $1 billion challenge for the whole BNB ecosystem right now. The hype acts like this massive free marketing campaign. It brings millions of new wallets onto the chain, shows them how cheap and fast it is. But to keep those users, they need to find lasting value beyond the lottery tickets.
Mm-hmm.
They need to engage with the core DeFi apps, the lending, the staking, maybe find the low-cost infrastructure useful for more serious projects.
Otherwise, they just leave when the party's over.
Exactly. If all they see is meme coins, they'll move on to the next shiny thing on the next chain.
So that probing question again. Does this huge wave of speculative growth fundamentally compromise the ecosystem's long-term health, given how volatile it is?
I'd say no, not fundamentally compromise it, but lasting strength absolutely requires converting this intense engagement into real core utility. It can't just stay hype forever.
All right, let's move over to the charts then, see how the market is actually processing all this. The fundamental pressures, the speculative injections, how's it translating into price? The technical analysis section and the source material seem very specific about the current trend.
Yeah, it's pretty clear-cut according to the analysis. The structure isn't just vaguely bullish. It's described as clearly bullish and well-defined.
Okay. What does that look like?
Well, first, there was that long kind of sideways period earlier in the year, early 2025. That was the accumulation phase. Healthy. Traders quietly building up their positions.
Right. The calm before the storm.
Exactly. And the storm really kicked off with a very clean technical signal.
Which was?
BNB broke out decisively from what's called a symmetrical triangle pattern. That happened in the $340 to $360 price zone.
Okay, for listeners maybe not deep into charting, what's a symmetrical triangle tell us?
It's basically a period where the price swings get smaller and smaller, the highs get lower, the lows get higher, squeezing the price into a point. It's like the market coiling a spring.
Oh.
It signals that energy is building up for a big high momentum move. Could be up, could be down. In BNB's case, the break was upwards, and that's what really initiated this strong, sustained uptrend we're seeing now.
And since that breakout, the price action has formed. The source has called it a parabolic ascending structure. Sounds dramatic.
It is pretty dramatic looking on a chart. It basically means the price isn't just going up, it's going up at an accelerating rate, like the curve of a parabola.
Okay.
And it's marked by these really clean higher highs, followed by higher lows where buyers step back in. The whole move, since May, roughly, has been guided by a very clear upward-sloping trend line that's acted as support.
And where are we now in that structure?
Currently trading up near $1,270. So that's a significant gain, like threefold, since that initial $340-ish breakout. And the key takeaway is, as long as that main upward trend line holds on any pullbacks, the overall bullish market structure remains fully intact.
We can also look at moving averages to confirm the underlying strength, right?
Yeah.
The source mentioned there lined up perfectly.
Yeah, this is often considered the strongest signal of just how healthy and robust a trend is.
How so?
Well, first, short term. BNB is trading comfortably above its 20-day moving average. That tells you immediate momentum is firmly bullish. Buyers are in control right now. But the really compelling part for the longer-term picture is the alignment of all the key MAs. The 20-day, the 50-day, and the 200-day.
And they're all pointing up and stacked in the right order.
Exactly. They're all trending upwards, and crucially, they're positioned correctly relative to each other. The short-term 20-day is above the medium-term 50-day, which is above the long-term 200-day.
The material used an analogy, like stacking Lego blocks.
Yeah, like stacking Lego blocks of data. When they stack up neatly like that, it's a textbook confirmation that the trend is strong, powerful, and sustained across different time horizons. It screams that buyers are dictating terms on the weekly, monthly, and multi-monthly charts.
Okay, structure looks strong, but now we need to look at indicators that measure the speed of the move, like Fibonacci levels and the MSCI indicator. This is where the warnings might pop up, right? The idea of overextension.
Exactly right. Speed matters. BME recently hit a local peak, a temporary top, around $1,304, and since then, we've seen a slight pullback starting. Totally normal.
So how do we gauge if this pullback is healthy or something more concerning?
That's where Fibonacci retracement levels come in handy. They help us identify those potential gravity wells, the logical zones, where buyers who missed the run-up or traders taking profits might look to step back in. These are key support areas.
And what specific levels does the analysis highlight for us to watch?
The first key level on the way down is the 0.236 Fib level, which sits at $11,133. That's your first potential bounce zone. Short-term traders might eye that.
Okay.
But the more critical zone, the one that really tests the integrity of this whole parabolic structure, is the next level down, the 0.382 Fib level at $1,027.
$1,027.
Yeah. If the price pulls back to $1,133 or even $1,027 and finds support there, bounces back up, that's considered a perfectly healthy correction within a strong uptrend. As long as we stay above that 0.382 level, the overall bullish shade is maintained.
But the MACD indicator is flashing a warning sign about momentum right now, saying we might have gone too far, too fast.
It is. It's signaling what's called a short-term overextended phase. Now, the MACD itself, that stands for Moving Average Divergence, it's still technically bullish. The lines are in the right place.
Hi.
But the histogram bars, which measure the distance between the two MACD lines, they've gotten really tall and wide recently.
What does that signify?
It signifies that the price has accelerated very quickly, maybe too quickly, in a short period. The gap between those momentum lines has stretched out. It's like an elastic band being pulled too tight.
So the sources are basically saying the market needs to take a breather. A timeout is needed.
That's a good way to think about it, yeah.
Right.
The MACD needs to reset itself. That usually means either some sideways consolidation price going nowhere for a bit or a minor pullback in price.
Okay.
Either of those actions allows that gap between the MACD lines to shrink, brings the histogram bars back down towards a more neutral level. And that consolidation is actually healthy. It builds a base, lets buyers reload, and creates the space needed to launch the next sustainable leg higher.
It sounds like the indicators are pulling in slightly different directions here. How do we reconcile the MACD warning of being overbought with the moving averages still showing a strong buy signal?
That's where you rely on the overall structure and time frame. The short-term caution from the MACD suggests maybe it's not the ideal time to initiate new long positions right this second. Wait for that pullback or consolidation.
Uh-huh.
But the long-term strength shown by the stacked moving averages confirms that if you're already in a position from lower down, the underlying trend is still very much intact. You'd likely hold, using those Fib levels as key areas to watch.
Okay, this is maybe a vulnerable admission here, but trying to perfectly time these resets, figuring out exactly when the pullback is done based on indicators like MACD, I still wrestle with that myself sometimes, especially when things are moving this fast. It's tricky.
Oh, absolutely. Timing tops and bottoms perfectly is notoriously difficult, maybe impossible consistently. That's why focusing on those key structural levels, like the fibs and the main trend line, is usually more reliable than relying solely on an oscillator like MACD hitting a certain point.
Right. Focus on the support zones. So, probing question on that. If that critical 0.382 Fibonacci level at $1,027 does break to the downside, does that completely invalidate the whole bullish structure we've been talking about?
A break below $1,027 would definitely signal profound caution. It would mean the parabolic structure is likely broken. But does it invalidate the entire long-term bullish trend? Not necessarily. The ultimate line in the sand, according to the analysis, is the stop-loss level down at $940.30. Above that, the broader uptrend technically remains in play, just maybe needing a much deeper reset. #tag midroll sponsor read. This section is a placeholder as per instructions. Content is provided separately and is not to be generated here.
Okay, we've covered the fundamental scarcity engine, the deflationary burn. We've covered the technical structure, the parabolic rise, and the key levels. Now let's zoom back out a bit and look at market sentiment and the bigger picture of capital flows, the overall mood.
Right. The emotional side and the macro context.
And the technical summary itself, pulled from the source, gives this really interesting, almost conflicted snapshot right now.
It does. It perfectly captures that dilemma we were just discussing. If you look at the summary table, the oscillators, those are the short-term momentum gauges like the MACD we talked about, RSI too.
Yeah.
Probably they're signaling sell.
Why sell?
Because they're reflecting that immediate overbought condition. Price went up too fast.
Yeah.
But the moving averages, which reflect the underlying trend strength over longer periods, they're still flashing a decisive strong buy.
So you average them out.
Essentially, yeah. When you synthesize all the technical data points together, the overall bias remains buy, but comes with that asterisk, that footnote.
Yeah.
Be cautious in the immediate short term due to the overextension.
Okay. And this sort of cautious optimism, is it reflected in broader sentiment metrics like the fear and greed index?
It is, yeah. That index is currently sitting at 58.
58? What does that mean? Greed? Fear?
Technically, it's classified as neutral, right in the middle.
Okay.
But the key context here is where it's come from. Just last month, it was down at 44, which is leaning towards fear. So seeing it climb back up to 58 represents a pretty significant psychological recovery.
People are feeling less scared, more confident again.
Exactly. Investors are visibly shifting away from being cautious and fearful back towards feeling more confident about the market. If this trend continues and the index pushes higher into the 60s and 70s, that's the greed zone.
And greed means?
It signals traders are becoming much more willing to take risks, to chase rallies, to deploy capital aggressively again. So watching that index is a good gauge of returning animal spirits.
We also need to consider the bigger picture, right? The flow of capital between Bitcoin and altcoins. The source mentions the altcoin season index. Where does that stand?
Right now, the index is at 48.
48. What does that tell us?
Functionally, anything below 50 means capital is currently favoring Bitcoin over altcoins. So 48 means we're leaning slightly towards the Bitcoin side of the seesaw.
And that explains why maybe some other altcoins feel a bit sluggish recently?
Precisely. It explains that short-term weakness we might be seeing across a lot of altcoin charts. It's a very classic cyclical pattern we see in crypto markets.
How does that cycle usually work?
Well, typically, the big money, institutional capital, large traders, they first rotate into Bitcoin when they expect a major market move. They use Bitcoin to establish the main directional trend for the whole crypto space.
Okay.
But in doing so, that initial move into Bitcoin temporarily sucks liquidity away from the broader altcoin market, like draining the shallow end of the pool to fill the deep end first.
Right, a sort of altcoin winter light phase.
Yeah, that's a decent way to put it.
Yeah.
But history shows us this phase is usually temporary. It's often a necessary market health check, lets things consolidate.
And then the money flows back.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Once Bitcoin finds its footing, stabilizes, maybe confirms a new support level or breaks resistance, that liquidity historically tends to rotate right back out of Bitcoin and into the altcoins, often quite aggressively. That's what kicks off the real altcoin season.
So the current relative weakness in some alts compared to Bitcoin or even BNB is likely contextual and probably short-lived, assuming the overall market stays healthy.
That's the historical pattern, yes.
Mm.
It suggests patience might be warranted for broader altcoin exposure right now.
Okay, let's circle back now specifically to that explosive meme coin activity on the BNB chain, because the source material gives some really concrete examples that illustrate why this particular chain seems perfectly suited to be the retail playground right now.
Yeah, this is where the speculation meets the functional superiority of the chain. It's a fascinating mix.
Meme coins on BNB aren't exactly new, right? We had SafeMoon Baby Doge back in 2021.
Right, that was the last big cycle.
Yeah.
But the critical difference highlighted now is the level of integration and how these new tokens structurally create demand for BNB itself. These new coins, they aren't just launching on BNB chain. They are deeply reliant on BNB. They use BNB for their main liquidity pairs on PancakeSwap. Many of them build burn mechanisms that involve burning BNBB or burning their own token using BNB gas. Their launch visibility is often tied into the whole Binance ecosystem.
So the meme pumps aren't just happening on the chain, they're directly pushing sustained demand for the chain's native token.
Exactly. It's a much tighter feedback loop this time around.
Okay, let's get into those examples the source mentioned. Mubarak, Broccoli714, and Just Four, they sound like a diverse bunch.
They really illustrate different angles. Mubarak, for instance, it apparently started with a very hyper-local focus, strong branding aimed at the Middle Eastern crypto community. Its liquidity pools were entirely based on BNB pairs. And get this, its holder count surged 600% in just 2 weeks.
600%.
Yeah. That kind of incredibly rapid, high-volume onboarding of completely new users, it's only really feasible because the transaction fees are so low. People can make lots of small trades, experiment, without getting priced out by gas costs.
Right. Then there's Bargelirai 714. That name doesn't exactly scream meme. Sounds almost, I don't know, academic.
It does sound weirdly organized for a meme coin, right? The source says it actually has a community DAO, a decentralized autonomous organization structure behind it.
A DAO for a meme coin.
Apparently, they conduct frequent on-chain votes for governance decisions, things that would cost a fortune in gas fees on a network like Ethereum. They completely rely on BNB chain's super low transaction costs to even make that community governance workable.
And when we say low cost, just how low are we talking? This seems to be the recurring theme.
It really is the game changer. The source emphasizes this. We are talking transaction costs typically under 10 cents. Less than $0.10 per swap or transfer.
Wow.
That is a cost structure that, as the source puts it, high-frequency meme traders on Ethereum, or even newer chains like Base, can only dream of.
10 cents versus maybe $10, $20, or even more on Ethereum during peak times?
Exactly. That massive cost difference keeps user engagement incredibly high. It allows people to jump in and out of volatile positions, scalp tiny profits, make dozens or hundreds of trades a day without having the gas costs completely obliterate any potential gains.
Makes sense. And the last one, four. What's the story there? Sounds very minimalist.
Pure minimalism. The source said it had basically no narrative, no utility, no roadmap, just vibes.
Just vibes.
Just vibes. But it apparently went completely viral through social media sharing. Pure hype.
And the numbers.
It hit a $10 million market capitalization, processed over 20,000 transactions within its first 48 hours, all happening on PancakeSwap, the main DEX on BNB chain. Which means, again, all those trades were happening against YNB liquidity pairs, generating fees, driving volume for BNB. The sheer number of transactions, 20,000 in 2 days, confirms that intense high-frequency retail activity.
Whoa. Okay, just pausing on that for a second. Imagine trying to scale some kind of high-frequency trading strategy, maybe arbitrage or something, involving millions of tiny microtransactions.
Yeah.
Doing that cost-effectively, knowing that your tiny edge on each trade isn't going to be instantly eaten up by a $15 gas fee just to get the transaction included in the next block. That low fee structure isn't just nice for retail. It feels like an enormous, almost fundamental advantage for any kind of high-speed liquidity provision or trading.
It absolutely is.
Yeah.
It's the secret sauce that makes the whole retail playground possible, and maybe attracts more sophisticated strategies too. You compare this to other chains where a sudden surge in meme volume often leads to network congestion, failed transactions, and skyrocketing fees.
Right, the network grinds to a halt or becomes unusable for normal people.
Exactly. But on BNB chain, during this recent meme season, transactions reportedly remained smooth, fast, and critically cheap. That functional superiority, that reliability under load, ensures that all that crazy high-velocity meme volume translates directly into sustained, verifiable demand for BNB. It makes it the perfect sandbox for the micro trader, the community builder, the high-speed experimenter.
Okay, final probing question for this segment then. If the gas fees stay this incredibly low and the chain proves it can handle this kind of volume reliably, Does that low cost eventually attract more serious DeFi protocols, maybe even institutional infrastructure plays over the long term? Or is it kind of destined to remain primarily the fun, fast meme playground because of its reputation?
That's the big question for its future identity, isn't it? Low cost is always a powerful magnet for any developer, serious or not. But achieving truly high utility and attracting significant sticky long-term capital probably requires more than just demonstrating high retail trading volume, even if it handles it well. It needs trust, security, and maybe a shift in perception too.
Okay, so let's try to synthesize all of this now. Pulling together the fundamentals, the speculation, the technicals, we have a pretty clear, though complex, story emerging for the Binance token.
Yeah, it's definitely got layers.
At its base, BNB is built on these really robust deflationary fundamentals, specifically that auto-burn mechanism.
Right.
That establishes a strong, measurable, long-term price floor. Scarcity is built in.
Mm-hmm. The anchor.
But right now, that fundamental anchor is being seriously stress tested, but also kind of energized by this massive wave of high speed, potentially quite fleeting retail speculation.
Yeah.
The whole meme season phenomena.
Yep. The floor is solid, but the ceiling is getting pushed hard by temporary excitement.
And then the technical picture.
The technical structure, especially that full alignment to the moving averages and the clean breakout from that big triangle pattern, it strongly supports the idea of sustained growth. Buyers are demonstrably in control of the bigger trend. Provided those key Fibonacci support levels we talked about actually hold during this necessary short-term consolidation phase, the pullback that the overextended NCD is signaling needs to resolve constructively.
Okay. So for you, the listener, trying to make sense of all this, let's boil down the specific numbers from the source materials analysis.
Mm-hmm.
Potential entry points, the stop loss, the future targets.
Absolutely. Let's get concrete. Given the current price action near the recent highs and the need for that healthy pullback suggested by the indicators,
yeah,
the analysis recommends potential entry points, EP1, at that first Feb level of $1,147.
Okay. First support.
And a potentially deeper entry, AP2, down at the more critical 0.382 FIB level, which is $1,033.
Got it. $1,147 and then $33.
Those are the zones where buyers might logically step back in, assuming the uptrend remains intact.
And if it doesn't, if the market reverses more sharply, what's the line in the sand for risk management?
The hard stop loss. The point where the analysis suggests the bullish structure is likely invalidated, it's at significantly lower, down at $940.30. A break below there would warrant a major reassessment.
Okay, clear risk parameters. Now, looking ahead, assuming the structure holds and the uptrend continues, what kind of price targets does the analysis predict? Medium term first.
For the medium term, looking out towards the fourth quarter of 2025, the prediction based on the current momentum and fundamentals places one BNB in a pretty significant range. $1,750 up to $2,000.
$1,750 to $2,000 by year end.
That's the projection, yeah.
And longer term, say looking out a year or more.
Longer term, when you start factoring in the continued impact of the auto burn reducing supply month after month, year after year, the projections become even more aggressive. The analysis aligns with some institutional forecasts, pushing potential targets into the $3,000 to $4,000 range.
$3,000 to $4,000 long term.
That's the outlook, based on the combination of ongoing deflation and anticipated continued demand growth within the ecosystem.
So it really feels like the ultimate fate, the destiny of the Binance token, is going to be defined by how successfully Binance, the company, and the chain can manage these two very different worlds simultaneously.
It really is.
You've got the highly regulated, institutional-facing, serious financial machine on one side, and then this chaotic, super high-energy, often unpredictable retail playground on the other. It truly is a tightrope walk, as you said earlier.
Absolutely. And the source material really leans into this point near the end. It emphasizes again that BNB chain's functional superiority, those incredibly low fees, the high speed makes it the perfect, maybe even ideal environment for retail meme traders right now.
Right.
Which raises this really provocative final thought, something for you, the listener, to mull over. Will the platform ever manage to shift its primary identity? Can it transition away from being known mainly as this high-speed breeding ground for meme culture and become known primarily for attracting serious institutional-grade long-term utility projects? Or is its destiny now sort of permanently intertwined with keeping this volatile, high-speed retail excitement going perpetually? Which identity wins out? or can they truly coexist long-term?
That is a great question to ponder as you watch those support levels we discussed and maybe try to track where the volume is actually coming from day to day. Thank you, everyone, for joining us for this deep dive into the Binance token, its fundamentals, its meme-fueled mania, and its current parabolic structure. Hope this synthesis was helpful.
Yeah, keep that critical lens engaged. Always ask yourself, is the volume I'm seeing driven by sustained, verifiable utility that feeds that deflationary engine? Or is it mostly temporary meme mania that might require a much quicker trigger finger on the exit? Knowing the difference is key.
Continue exploring those sources. Keep digging deeper. And we will talk to you next time on The Deep Dive.